but you can turn to that if you would. And if you feel like turning again after you find Philemon or beforehand, let's just turn to Deuteronomy 31 for a moment. You know, we're living in a perilous time. I can't say enough about the time that you and I right now are living. Sometimes, like I have been sharing with Pat, and things get so overwhelming. Not, you know, the world scene is terrible right now, but then we bring it down to our own homes and our living rooms and whatnot, and we get overwhelmed, and we just feel like, what can I do? Where's the light? Where's the hope? Where's any ray? And as your pastor, but as a Christian right there among you, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, period. We've had to do that since most of us believed, but we're in a time right now that our only hope is in Christ Jesus. It's not going to be, as the word says, by power or by might, but by his spirit, that each one of us are safely going to make it through this to whatever point he's got destined for us. And if you're in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. I like, you know, I don't know what that says in NIV or anything, but today that, when I felt God just leading me there this morning, be strong and of a good courage. Are there many different kinds of courages? Very possibly for each situation. But be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's got to become something that is so ingrained in each one of us, so real, that no matter what assails us, whatever we see, we're going to be able to stand on that firm footing. So we can turn to Philemon, write that down, or stick something in there if you would for this week, because I'm sure that we're going to need to go back to today's word, try to hear God over all the noise and the clamor. And as your pastor, like I said, but I've said it before, and I honestly mean, yeah, I'm a pastor, but I'm just somebody that for some reason God called 40-something years ago and said, what do you think? You want to stand? And I'm from New York, if you haven't figured that out, but that's almost 50 years ago. But that's the way God speaks to me. You want to do this for me or not? It wasn't for me. I'm calling you. You want to stand up there and give my word out? I just took a responsibility that I felt had to be met. And that's for every one of us every day. God's going to say in a way that your ears will hear and your heart will understand that God is asking you, my servant, fill in the blank with whoever Moses was. He's gone. Who can I send? Who'll stand in that spot for me? And I pray that today in each one of our hearts, we can honestly say, I will. I'll do my best. I'm not trained for this. I'm not strong for this. I'm not even ready to do this, Lord. But if you're asking me, I'm willing to take that first step. That's all God is asking. And too many of us have been frozen over the years and of just, I'm a failure, or I'm not, I don't have this, or I don't have that gift. We need to stop that. The Holy Spirit, if we believe, is indwelling each and every believer, not just here, but every church, every building that's meeting today in his name, following his commandments. He's got us as soldiers, but he wants us to go out, not just be overwhelmed or frozen by fears and faults and failures. And I think that's what he wants to present today. And I hope I can get there. Bear with me in my folly at times. If I seem confused, if you don't know, if you know me, you know I'm not confused. This is how I am all the time. But if you're visiting, you're going to find out that, you know, the boy, does he remember where he's going? Or, God has taken this little section and made it so big, and I pray for you also, that we will follow his voice more so than my voice and see, what is it, Lord, that you're calling me today to do? What is it that I can do? Because as your pastor, I feel my call was I'm supposed to feed God's flock. Not my flock, God's flock. You're His. Like I said, all I do is try to bring whatever God has given to me in the sections we're in to encourage myself, to encourage others. So let's keep moving. Don't stop now. We've come this far. Why should we quit? Why should we fold? Because the enemy of our souls is just shaking some little carrot in front of us and making us walk another way. We need to just stand up. Our God is strong. Look at the things we just sang this morning. Do we honestly believe them? Can you imagine if we reacted outside these doors on a daily basis in our homes, in our jobs, in our families, as we do here on Sunday morning when we Skitch Henderson, follow the bouncing ball, and we sing the song. Some of you don't remember Skitch Henderson, but that was a big show at one time, and everybody sang because the white ball showed you how to do it. I think the light of the world is going to try to show us how we can do it, each one of us. So again, like I said, forgive me for kind of being scattered, if that's what we think. But this week, and again, if you're visiting, forgive me. I use a lot of things that maybe normal pastors or the pulpit aren't open to. And this week, Bob Dylan, I have on my shuffles. What are you listening to Bob Dylan for? I just do. Okay, let's leave it at that. But there was a song that came on this shuffle when Pat and I were working, and we blast music. We blast Christian music. We blast good old music that they don't write anymore, right, Tom? But Dylan made this thing. Let me get going to the sermon. Dylan made this thing, "The Times They Are Changing." That's what came on. And I mean, it just made me sit down. Not so much for his song, but I thought, Lord, these times are changing, and they're changing fast. What can I do to do something about this change? And that's where I, this week, Pat and I just felt over. We can't change anything that's happening on that scene called life every day. But the one thing that God showed me that I can change, and not to get despondent or overwhelmed, he said, Doug, you can change you. I can change you if you let me. But we're already changed, aren't we? Good, mature, sinning Christians at this point. God can change us every second of the day if we release ourselves to Him. And that was the one thing that He said, Doug, I can change this immediate surrounding. What's happening on the world front, that's coming. It's on its way. God knows, and I think He knows every step of the journey that's happening. It's not surprising Him. So in the interim, what God is trying to say through me today, I hope, and maybe when you read this, is I can change you. I can change your thoughts. I can change your heart. I can change your feelings. I can change right where you are right now, every one of us, if we listen to Him. You know, that was a word that was said a few administrations back. It's time for a change. Remember that slogan? And then the next administration said, let's make it great again. And then the one that we got right now is, let's make it even better. I mean, has anybody seen a change since the one we might have liked way back or the one we don't like right now? Has any one of us seen this wonderful change that brings hope and joy and expectation? Not very much. Not very much. Afghanistan, my goodness. Do we understand the seriousness of that event that's going on right now? Everything started over there. We should all know this by now reading the Bible. Everything is going to end over there. But before it ends over there, it's going to come over here to one degree or another. This is, you know, oh, is this a fear tactic? No. You know, and Rick, you'll understand this, and some others that have been in the... I was a New York City cop, but fear was something that we were trained. See, fear can make you run into a wall headlong, like your hair was on fire. Or fear could make you so aware that every fiber of your being, every hair will stand up, and you're alert and you're aware, and things aren't going to overcome you. We need to take our fear and use it for our good, God's good, and somebody else's good, because I I fear that that's what's coming on us right now, is a spirit of fear all over. What's going to happen? How do we survive? How are we going to make it? Am I going to die? Yes. You know, I was trying to think something good about that, you know. See, religion is for people who are afraid of hell. I said this to Pat the other day. Religion is something for people who are afraid of hell. Spirituality, faith, is for people who have already been there. And what we're trying to do is get somebody out of that scene. So I hope today kind of comes together. Some questions when I'm done, if we do get done, that I hope we can remember. With this change, what is it that I can change? So we learned already that it's myself. Romans 12, 1 through 3, if you can turn to that this week, not today, but you know, Paul is saying that, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that, you know, holy and acceptable unto God, that we might be able to approve what is that good and acceptable will of God. That's the one thing. Be transformed. Transformed. Metamorphosis. Metamorpho is the word in the Greek. It means be changed, because we can't change that. So he's saying, Doug, you can be changed inward to outward. It's a work that only God can do. By the renewing of my mind, how do I renew it? God's voice. God's voice. If we hear it, if we read it, if we allow it to come into us, I know that God can transform whatever's going on in our lives right now. So, a question for yourself, what can I change? That'll be one this week, hopefully that'll be. What can I change in my life? Because I know a lot of us don't like some of the things that are going on in our life that we are really responsible for. What is it that I, Doug Gibney, Pat, you know, Shannon, what is it that I can change in my life? That would be to that glory of God. What am I willing to change now? See, when you get that, all of us say, well, I'd like to stop this. I'd like to quit that. But the next question that comes with that is, am I willing to change? And the last one, before we go into Philemon, is one that Pat always says to me every week. This is with chores, of course. When are you going to hang the door? When am I going to change? When am I going to do this change? What is it that I can change? What am I willing to change? And then Doug, not you, but me, when am I going to do it? Monday is a good day for diets. So leave Monday out tomorrow because you're starting your diet or your exercise program or something. So maybe Tuesday would be a good day to sit with the Lord and ask him, when am I going to do this, Father? There's got to be a willingness to change. And there's got to be an understanding of where this is all going to. Some of us know the AA motto pretty well, and I'm not bringing that in to God's word, but there's some goodness in that to a degree. It, you know, the AA motto was, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Change. Courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That fits every one of us today. You know, that's the AA motto, but the Christian motto is found in Philippians 4. Don't be anxious in anything, but by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make our requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard our heart and rule our mind in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's what I need to do today. Prayer, prayer, prayer. So let's go to Philemon, if we would. And I should have brought the other 50 pages. Do you ever get with God and he's just so big? You think you hear what he's saying to you, and you look into it, and all of a sudden it just starts to grow, and it grows. And that's what's been going on all week, so forgive me. Like I said, there's so much in this, but this is not a time for sermonettes. For Christianettes, this is a time to hear God's word. So those of us who have ears, let us hear. And those of us who are willing, help us to be obedient, Father God, in what it is that you're speaking to each one of our hearts. We've been studying Philemon. You know that that's a very small 25-verse epistle written by Paul. We have felt Paul beseeching Philemon, who was a convert of his, a rich owner who had slaves at this time. His slave Onesimus ran away, stole something possibly, probably, from his owner, got saved under Paul's ministry, and now Paul is beseeching this man Philemon in regards to Onesimus for forgiveness. This is the best 25 verses almost that we can ask for the lesson, for the command of forgiveness, which is one of our biggest problems today. It doesn't have to be major to where there's animosities and yelling and screamings. It could be that quiet unforgiveness in each one of our hearts that no one knows except for me and God. How I deal with somebody, whether it's in the family or a friend or a workplace, forgiving those who have wronged us. That's what Paul is asking. Yes, you've been wronged, Philemon, but he's a brother in Christ now, and just like you've been forgiving, I'm asking you, forgive him, restore him. And then what I saw this week again was Paul's expectation of Philemon to respond in a Christian and godly manner. Not excuses, not feelings, but Paul was playing on the fact that Philemon had been saved, set free, given eternal life by the Lord, and he was asking him, you should do the same, basically. So let's real quickly, so I can get done today, read verses 16 through 21 in this short epistle. Paul is asking him again, like I said, he's counting on the fact that since Philemon is a Christian, he will act in a Christian manner. And I think God expects that from me. God expects that from you. People that are out there expect us, in a sense, to act in godly Christian manners in situations. So he says in 16, he says, receive now Onesimus, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he's wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I'll repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how you owe me, even your own self besides. Yes, brother. Let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience. Wow. Can you imagine that? I want God to have confidence in my obedience one day. When he tells me to do something, I want to do it. But Paul had this confidence of Philemon, having confidence in your obedience. I wrote unto thee knowing that you will also do more than I say. Exceeding abundantly above what we ever even think is imaginable for each and every one of us. Father God, help us to see how this little section connects my faith and my actions, how this little section shows me how I should act and respond and be towards others outside in my walk with you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. So this little book, this little epistle, 25 verses, did anybody notice? I'm sure you have. It doesn't have an ending. A lot of the things we have shows an ending to a degree, right? And we can figure it out by compiling some other verses. This one just kind of drops it. To where I started thinking, well, did Philemon forgive Onesimus? Did he do the things that Paul was asking? What were the reasons? Why didn't this have an ending to a degree? It's kind of left open. And again, I'll call on Paul Harvey, and now for the rest of the story. It's you know, there's commentators that say that Onesimus became a bishop. He was brought home. I don't see that And I, you know, we probably could find it in some of the writings of Josephus maybe or something, but it ends kind of suddenly with grace be with your spirit, but we don't know. So I sat and I kept asking God, why? How come no ending? And what I sensed, what I felt was, I'm waiting to see how you respond so I can continue to write this story. Not that there's going to be another Bible, but in heaven there are going to be books of remembrance opened. There are going to be books that we have no concept of what's in there, that every one of us will have something that the Lord is going to show to us that we might not even think of right now. And I thought, wow, can you imagine, Shannon, Rick, Kate? God is waiting to see how we respond to continue to write this story of forgiveness, of restoration, of bringing the prodigals home if we would. Because that's in a sense what Onesimus was. And when we bring those prodigals home, is there an understanding of how dear that is to God? And the only way that you and I will have that full forgiveness, have the restoration that God wants us to minister in, to bring prodigals home, to pray in a godly way, the only way we're going to do it is if we understand how God, forgiving us, desires that from each and every one of us. Well, what can I do? But, you know, Micah, and I'm off track. Maybe we'll do this sermon next week. What can I do, though? But see, God, that, I feel for my life, that's an excuse now. I know what to do. Micah 6, verse 8. Does anybody know that one? What can I do? And the answer comes loudly, I've shown you already, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Requires, that word in its original Hebrew, it's not a requirement for salvation. Don't think that. It's what the Lord would desire from you, Doug. And that's to... He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you, but to do justly. Golden rule, and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. That's easy. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to have every aspect of our life right. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. But here I am, Lord, use me. So what I want to do, and I don't know, we'll try it again. God might be waiting a little bit. He's at least writing in my response to how we'll restore, forgive, bring some prodigal home. Everyone, has anybody got a prodigal in their family right now? Praise God, I do. Anybody want to see him home? Anybody want to see him home with no conditions? Anybody see him home with maybe arms wrapped around their neck and saying, forget whatever went on. Let's start fresh. That's what God is saying through Philemon to each and every one of us. So I want to do three little stories real quick. I'm not going to finish, but three little stories that I think shows us God's heart, God's desire of what he's already shown us so that we could live and complete this Philemon in our lives to restore and renew and bring hope to somebody. So turn to Matthew 18, if you would. I'm going to try. Just to read it, and I'm asking each one of us to maybe really read these scriptures this week so that we might hear what it is that God is trying to say to us. Matthew 18, we're going to look at verses 21 through 35. I won't comment. You know, I don't know why us pastors and teachers think we have to fully comment on God's word, as if we can present it better, as if we might throw in some new twist. God said this. This is a yay and amen. How can we ever improve on God's word? But when you and I read this week and meditate on it, allow God to bathe you in his voice and his comments on what he's trying to show us. Matthew 18, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O, you wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your heart you forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Matthew 20. Just a page away. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, is like unto a man as a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Verse 7, they said unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, but which have done the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto you the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful, verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Luke chapter 15. Verse 11. This is the story of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, I said no comments, but maybe underline that or remember it. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sins against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no more worthy to be called a son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and eat, and let's be merry, and that my son who was dead is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son, verse 25, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? And he said unto him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, you've killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. So Lord, help us to just go over this week if you're trying to say anything to any of our hearts. We just ask you to make that time for us, Lord, to meditate on this. In Jesus' name. They're more than parables, I feel. They're more than just good Bible stories. It's God's voice telling each and every one of us about forgiveness that we have probably received. We're talking about restoration of whatever relationship might have been broken. We're talking about bringing people, runaway slaves. That's what Onesimus was. And if there's none of us here, I hope we all realize we're runaway slaves in our own right, each and every one of us. We ran at one time to the Lord. Now that we're with the Lord, we still run on a daily basis. He says, oh, hey, let me use you like me. Hey, Doug, if I pick on Tom too much, he cries anyhow. Hey, Doug, I'd like you to do this. Ooh, not right now. Oh, I know, I'm gonna go do something for Pat. We're all runaway slaves to a degree. And I feel that the outcome of Philemon, that we really aren't sure about, we can make our story sure in forgiveness and restoration, our running away, the bringing home upon. We can set this securely if we take a good look at ourselves, who we are, what we've been forgiven of, each one of us. If we're in Christ, we've been forgiven a debt that we could never repay, never. How is it that we find it hard then to forgive somebody? Like Onesimus and Philemon. You should forgive them in a heartbeat, because you yourself, Paul said, you were forgiven. I was forgiven. Why do I hold unforgiveness? Why is it that I don't want restoration for every situation if a person repents? Why is it that I'm not willing to spend myself, as Paul said, put it on my account, which is what Christ did for us. Remember, imputation. My sin went on Christ. Christ's righteousness came on Doug. How can I not want restoration, forgiveness, prayer, deep prayer for somebody, and bringing home a prodigal in one form or another? The only way that we'll do this is to find out who I am. Who am I in this, Lord? We read three stories with no comments. We read three parables that the Lord gave us in his forgiveness and how he would desire for us to respond to others. So I need to look at these this week and figure out, who am I? Who am I? Oh, you're Doug Gibney. But who am I, really? In these stories, why did God present these stories to us? Maybe I wanted you in the woodshed with me. Maybe that's as simple as it is. That's where I was this week. But I got a big woodshed. So there's plenty of room for each and every one of us. Who am I, Lord? So am I a Philemon? I was wronged. But will I forgive? The unjust servant. He was forgiven, but he held back forgiveness. Is that me? Is that who I want to look like? Is that what my story is going to be written down in the book of life at one point in time? Marketplace. The marketplace, I know what I hired on for. You know, he paid these guys a little, you know, $10, let's say, here, and he paid this one, you know. What did I sign on for? I just said, here I am, save me. Take that past and get it away. Forgive me for everything I've ever done. What did I sign on for? Am I one of those people in the marketplace? And just because somebody just got saved, maybe they don't deserve the same forgiveness, the same restoration. Is that what God is trying to show us? I don't know. Who am I in this? The prodigal son. We're all prodigals in one way or another. Runaway slaves, I said, but we're all prodigals, or we were at one point. And will I come to my senses? Do I want to be the prodigal? That's not bad ground right there. I hope I'm not the older brother, because when you read that story, that was like a form of godliness, wasn't it? He seemed righteous. But, Dad, I did all this stuff and you never gave me. So what did he do? He served out of obligation, maybe? A phony front? I don't want to be the older brother. And, man, can you imagine when that prodigal was coming home? Can you imagine if we would have met the older brother first? He might have turned around and gone home. He might have said, what is this Christianity about? What is forgiveness about? What's restoration? I've come to my senses and I know this is my only hope, and I just get booted again. I sure don't want to be the older brother. And then I started thinking, but that leaves one person. That leaves the Father. I'll never be him, but we can be like him. His word says that he's trying to change us into the image. He says that he's trying to change us from glory to glory. He's trying to make us something that we might not be right now. So the Father, am I looking? Am I running to the opportunities when they come? Am I forgiving? These are serious questions. Am I going to receive? Am I going to restore? It's time for a change. That's where I started. I know in my life that's something that he's saying, and not everything at once. One little area, just one little spot. Because, you know, it's the Word of God says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It doesn't have to be big. And he says, despise not the day of small things. Little things lead into bigger things. Renewing, restoration is a growing process. It keeps on moving. So am I willing to find myself in here, hoping that I can get more like the Father? Am I willing to let someone else experience, that's a very buzzword these days, am I willing to let somebody experience the love, the forgiveness, the grace, the restoration, the being welcomed into a home? Am I willing to let somebody experience that? Because I have. Have you? Am I willing to do that? So that goes with those questions. What can I do to change? We can't change. I can't do a thing. I could stand out on that corner, fly some sign, get out of Afghanistan. We're trying. But there are people that are going to be left there. What's the other sign? Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. Don't wear a mask. Don't get vaccinated. Here's a mandate. I mean, what can you and I do if there's anything? I mean, vote with your feet and stuff, yeah, but what can I do? What I can do is let one more person see the grace of God. God will do what he wants to do. That was the marketplace. Sure, I evil because I'm good. Can I do with my own? What's standing in the way? Maybe it's Doug. So all of that, thank you for bearing with me. I hope it comes together in your heart and mind. But we're being taught something in a little 25-verse epistle on forgiveness. restoration, prayer. Everything's got to be bathed with godly prayer first. And then we watch the prodigals come home. So, Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its just its lasting effect in everyone's lives, Father. So we ask you to show us, Father God, what it is that you desire for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's that. And if somebody's in here and doesn't know the Lord, I'm begging you today, please come up afterwards for prayer. Seth will be up here praying. Any one of us would be. But just to feel the Father maybe for the first time, run and hug your neck. I don't know if you're here today or not, but if you are, we're here for you. So God bless.